Volvo Service Advisor. Mike is a factory trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Scattered all around today, six security flares went up for transportation security, six airline situations. Real dynamite in a bag in a plane in Houston from Argentina. Airport spokesman Mark Mancuso.
What we found at this point is a very small quantity of some explosive components.
CBS's Bob Orr says there was half a stick of dynamite and an igniter, but it was out of reach in the belly of the plane and not considered a threatening terror situation. Here's a quick rundown of the others. A flight to Chicago from Manchester, England, landed in Bangor, Maine, some kind of threat against the flight from outside. An unruly passenger was subdued by the federal marshal on the Phoenix to Charlotte flight. It landed early in Oklahoma City, not terrorism either. Someone removed a lavatory panel in an intra-Texas flight. No idea what that means exactly, but security people sure got excited about it. An Aer Lingus flight from the U.S. was evacuated when it got to Shannon, Ireland. The bomb threat, a hoax. And a utility knife was left on an airliner's seat in Connecticut. Now, none of this was terrorism. But former Transportation Inspector General Mary Schiavo says,
I'm afraid it's probably going to get worse because we know for a fact, since they've been at it for many decades now, that the terrorists will come back at the system. So, yes, I think this is how flying will be for the foreseeable future.
A judge has granted a temporary restraining order preventing flight attendants from going on strike against Northwest Airlines. Flight attendant spokesman Ricky Thornton says they have other options.
This will give us a little bit more time to gear up our flight attendants so that we can start our chaos actions. If Northwest isn't going to bargain in good faith with us.
Chaos action. They could get sick. They could slow down. That sort of thing. 1 year after Katrina's devastation, a new CBS News New York Times poll finds there's blame to go around over disaster response.
59% say FEMA and federal agencies could be doing more. 55% say state and local government could do more.
Anthony Salvanto is the manager of surveys for CBS News. 56% of the people have confidence, from a fair amount to a great deal of confidence in the government's ability to respond to natural disasters. 44% say they don't have much. Ernesto in the Southern Caribbean is now a tropical storm.
It looks like in the next couple of days there is a possibility that we could see it form into a hurricane, say Monday or Tuesday, as it reaches the far northwest Caribbean and heads into the Gulf of Mexico.
That's meteorologist Robbie Berg. He says Ernesto, possibly the first hurricane of the season, could be really bad news if it does get into the Gulf as forecast. It's a roux on the loose. Maybe. A kangaroo is not what folks expect to see hopping along by the Western Maryland Parkway in Hagerstown. One driver claimed to have seen a little one. Could be a wallaby, of course. Wildlife officials are out looking for it. No sign of it so far. And none are known to be missing. On Wall Street, the Dow down 20 points, closed at 11,284. The Nasdaq gained 3 points. And oil prices at $72.51 a barrel, up 15 pennies. This is CBS News.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk driving, over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Where do single women outnumber men 10 to 1, 24-7, 365 days a year? WealthyMen.com. If you're a gentleman earning more than $100,000 a year and want to experience a higher caliber of online dating, visit WealthyMen.com. WealthyMen.com boasts a unique income, profession, and picture verification process, so the person in the picture online is the real deal. Experience WealthyMen.com for a risk-free trial period. Use promo code 123 and start meeting beautiful, sophisticated women today.
We're ready for a weekend mission to space, and the good news is weather looks pretty favorable. CBS News correspondent Peter King at Kennedy Space Center.
Sunday's forecast looks slightly worse than it did yesterday. Just a 60% chance of favorable weather at launch time, but there are no technical problems yet. NASA's Pete Nikolenko.
All of our teams are ready, and they're focused, and we're all looking forward to launch on Sunday. and the return to assembly.
It's the first space station construction flight in nearly 4 years, with 4 years to go until a presidential deadline to finish the job and retire the shuttle. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Bubba has died. No, not that Bubba. Bubba the Grouper. Big fish at Chicago's Shedd Aquarium. He was a famous fish because he had cancer once and bounced back after chemotherapy, becoming an inspiration to young cancer patients in particular. Bubba died, but it was old age. 24 is pretty old for a fish in captivity. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paint starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Hi, is Michael there?
That's it?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Peter B. Collins!
Well, a hearty good afternoon to you. And if you're looking for Peter B. Collins, he'll be back on Monday. He's taking what he claims to be as a well-deserved day off, but there are those who have their suspicions. I'm Peter Lauper, an old friend and colleague of Peter B.'s, and happy to be sitting in with you for the next 3 hours, and an exciting 3 hours it's going to be. Hello to you all in Monterey, Phoenix, Sacramento, Eureka, out there on the internet, wherever you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let me tell you what's going to happen here for the next 3 hours so that you can decide if you want to stick around. I hope you do. During the last hour, from 5 to 6, we're probably going to be talking about just how cleverly the Republicans are stealing the elections, or at least that's the assertion from a fellow who has been studying carefully the voting machines in too many states that seem too susceptible to hacking. And we will mess around with that during the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. So if that's something you're intrigued with, note down the number. It's an easy one to remember, 1-888-5-PETER-B, and we'll look forward to hearing from you during that hour to talk about voting machines. And from, we are in the Pacific time zone. I'm trying to keep track of where I am, and I'll tell you where I am physically momentarily. And from the 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock period, during that hour, we're going to talk with a couple of authors, intriguing to talk with if it all works out. One of them has written a book about talk radio, which is something that I'm quite passionate about. Having written a book about 10 years ago about talk radio myself, and with a certain amount of zeal at the time to point out some of the problems with the medium. If I were not such a First Amendment absolutist, I would probably be advocating making talk radio illegal. It really is something we should all be concerned about. Talking about talk radio that hour, and also talking about Katrina the Storm. Two authors, written books about those two matters of concern. It's been just about a year now since Katrina wiped out New Orleans. This hour, from 3 to 4, here in the Pacific time zone, we'll be talking with my son, Michael Lauffer, who's on the line now in New York City, 3 hours away. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
It's terrific to have you on the line and to talk about something that I know you are passionate about, because you and I talk about it so much. And I can only imagine that just about everybody in the audience is passionate about it, too, because we all are either students or teachers or both at some time in our lives. And with any luck, we're students and teachers all the time. And that's what you are right now. You're back east in New York getting your Ph.D., but at the same time, you've been teaching how long now?
I've been teaching, here in New York, I've been teaching for the past 3 years. Prior to that, I taught in California at Sonoma State University, calculus and calculus II. I also taught at San Quentin State Prison, where we have the only college program in the state. And I'm looking forward also to setting up a station to teach up at Sing Sing here in the state of New York.
And currently you're teaching within the City University of New York system at City College, is that correct?
Yes. I may also be teaching at City Tech, which is down in Brooklyn, and Borough of Manhattan Community College, all of which are within the same consortium.
And I know that you've also taught at Baruch, because I was lucky enough to sit in on one of the classes, and aside from whatever natural prejudices I would have as your father, enjoyed the way you taught. However, your beef is with an awful lot of your colleagues. You think that the teaching that goes on in academia, in this country particularly, to use the technical term, stinks, right?
Well, to be fair, I really don't necessarily blame my colleagues. I think that the way things are taught could be improved upon, but that's not, in many cases, in most cases perhaps even, the fault of the educator. There is a structure in place that forces most teachers to teach to particular rubrics and specific rules that don't give them the latitudes that allow for teaching structures that I feel would be most productive.
Well, what's an example? What's wrong with the way you see, for example, your specialty, calculus, taught? One of the things that's wrong with it is that people come away from calculus shaking their heads and saying, I just can't understand this. Give me an English class. I hate math.
Well, there is some truth to that, certainly, and mathematics has gotten a bad rap because of it. But I think that a lot of these pedagogical problems that we're about to address happen across the board. If I might quote Jerry Rubin, who was a rejectionist.
And indeed, this is probably the correct radio program on which to quote Jerry Rubin, because it is Peter B. Collins' program, and he calls himself a little to the left.
Indeed. Jerry Rubin was talking about schooling in general, and he is a little bit more extreme than I am. He said that burning down the schools would be a good idea. And he said taking a test is much like having a bowel movement, something that you hold in, and then when it's gone, you feel much better, and it's away. He said, I lost my interest in math in mathematics class. I lost my interest in English class. I lost my interest in social studies class, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that the root of this, really, is that things have ceased to be taught in a contextual way. There hasn't been a concept-based structure or model of pedagogy that's been used in quite a long time.
Yeah, well, say that for the rest of us. What do you mean?
Well, oftentimes people are very bitter about learning history, for example, because they say, oh, I don't have a good memory, I have trouble remembering this happened this date and this happened there, and that's a valid, entirely valid complaint. It's very hard to sit and merely exercise your memory buffer, merely to regurgitate it on a test. History is a beautiful topic, and the thing is that it's often forgotten that the reason that something happened in a particular place, in a particular time, is because something happened beforehand that led to it, and that it's all part of an intermingling story that really, when placed in the correct light, is entirely magical.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Lauffer, with Michael Lauffer on the line, who is currently both studying and teaching back in New York and has some strong feelings on what's wrong with the way we're teaching in this country. And we'll continue with those and with your interjections if you'd like to participate at 1-888-5-PETER-B. 1-888-5-PETER-B. And you are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show in Monterey, in Phoenix, in Sacramento, and Eureka. We're happy that you're there.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lie.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to ModereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumble stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, Glenn Plantone will be our guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Some of his hot spots are North Carolina and Costa Rica. Give him a call at 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
It is the Peter B. Collins Show. And welcome to it. I'm Peter Lauffer, in for Peter B., who's taking the day off today. He's down in Los Angeles. He'll check in with us probably later on during the show. And you can check in with us now if you'd like. We'd like to hear from you. Is American education broken? If you think it's broken, join us. Let us know what you think is wrong with us. But more to the point, what do you do to fix it? Is it fixable? Do you just keep those kids at home and
and teach them what you know and expose them to the world? Do you send them to private schools and mortgage the house so that they don't have to deal with the public schools? Are the public schools okay? And the problem is with the students, and it's all a bunch of complaining. 888-5-PETER-B is the number here, and on the line with me is certainly a qualified expert in the field, Michael Laufer, my son, who is both studying, getting his PhD back in New York City, and teaching at the same time at the university level. And what is it, Michael? Is it better to keep the kid at home? Is it a good idea to send the kid off to private school? Is it a bunch of complaining to say the system's broken and really you ought to be able to learn whatever your environment, whether it's San Quentin, which you've seen from the inside because you've taught there, or learning at home, which has also happened to you. You spent a year being homeschooled, or just spending a lot of time looking around the world and figuring it all out for yourself and being self-didactic.
Well, there's a combination of things, and certainly the onus is on the student to learn, but truly the thing that a teacher can and should be facilitating is bringing them up to speed. Now, I often say about mathematics specifically that if you were left to your own devices and you were in a cave somewhere or on an island and had nobody to learn from, you could build the whole of mathematics up by yourself, and axiomatically, because it's merely a matter of logic. There's no first-hand information or data that you have to get. But the thing is that we have to realize that the school of mathematics has been building since the time of the Greeks, and we'd like to be able to have our students make a jump so that they don't have to take the thousands of years that it's taken mathematics to evolve.
Yeah, so why is it that it feels so often to students that it takes thousands of years? Why is it, for example, to take your specialty as the example that we deal with trying to analyze what's wrong with the education process in this country, why is it that so many people abhor mathematics, that so many people are intimidated by mathematics, that so many people feel mathematics as a subject matter is something that's insurmountable?
Well, I think that at the root of the problem is standardized testing. And I think that that's given rise to a structure of teaching that's very difficult. Now, let me give the example. We have kind of taken standardized testing, and it's risen to this, you know, deified level where...
Yeah, not just deified, It's by law, for example, here in California, where if you don't pass the standardized tests, you don't get out of high school.
Indeed, yes, that's a new law. And interestingly enough, when you enter San Quentin, you have to take a placement test whether you participate in the education program or not. And education is something that everybody is exposed to, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says that education will be compulsory in the primary levels. And this...
Says what? No, wait a minute. You broke up there. Your cell phone broke up. It says what?
I'm sorry. In the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it actually states that education will be compulsory at the primary level.
Uh-huh.
So we're all learners, and even outside of a school system, we spend our lives learning. That's what we're built to do as biological organisms. We're designed to recognize patterns. Now, what happened somewhere along the way is that there was a quantification where people decided, some administrators somewhere along the way, decided that they had to set a standard for students and teaching, which is certainly reasonable. We all like to have high standards. But they did this by instituting standardized tests. And now we have them at every level. For middle school, you have the SSAT. You have the PSAT that you take in the middle of high school to do find if you're a National Merit Scholar. And then there's the SAT, which everybody lives in fear of throughout high school. And then there's the GRE to get into graduate school. There's also the LSAT to get into law school.
Sure, but what's the alternative? What's the alternative to take the other side? Isn't it reasonable that you collect this body of knowledge that you need to get to the next tier, and so you better be able to prove it to somebody? It shouldn't just be on your say-so.
Well, absolutely. One, there should be an assessment. But the problem with standardized testing is that it doesn't qualify your knowledge. It merely measures it. Now, here's the thing. Let's take a typical example, right? And on the any of these, GRE, the SAT, they're often there's an English section, and it will ask for a definition of a word, okay?
Okay.
Now, the structure of the test is this. It will give you the word, and it will give you your multiple choice options as to definitions that are appropriate to the word. Okay? Now, somebody may pick the right answer, or they may pick the wrong answer. But whether they pick the right answer or not is all the information that the person who's assessing your test gets. Now, if somebody reads the word, and they've memorized the definition, they pick the right answer, that's one sort of person. There's another person who guessed and got it right, and there's another person yet who looked at the word, had never seen it before, but managed to see the linguistic roots, the structure of it, go back, think of Latin words, think of Greek words, think of words in their own language or other languages they might know, and infer the meaning and pick it out. Now, which student would you prefer to have?
Yeah, of course. We like the guy that, the third guy. We like the guy that can analyze stuff and extrapolate and figure stuff out. So,
and this is exactly what we want. We want students who will synthesize and that their learning and their structure of learning is geared toward
Sure. But if you're going to be Mr. Fix-It, how are you going to isolate and identify such students?
Well, in that case, the thing is that if you think of the higher echelons of schools, they all do things that are much like that, where they have personal interviews with the students. They have experts come in and talk with them. People who know things, good people, experts in their field, people who have been screening students, and they've learned to identify whether people are merely good at being students, i.e., doing well in the class and pleasing a structured rubric, or if they're people who actually think critically and are good at structuralizing knowledge.
Fine. That's the way to test for it. But in order to get that ideal student, you have to come up with a way to teach it.
Right. And this is, again, on another step back. Now, as you say, oftentimes mathematics is looked at as the hardest subject, a subject that's difficult. Everybody says, oh, math is so hard.
No, they don't. They say, I hate math, is what they say.
All right, well, yes, it's true. They say that. I will admit it. I fess up. I often hear that. Oh, I hate math. Math was so hard. I hear this often. People say, oh, I barely passed trig, or I barely got past algebra, but I liked geometry. Now, people say that often, and that, I think, is a good clue.
It is indeed.
Geometry.
Now,
sorry,
now hold that thought. Pay attention to that siren out there in New York City and make sure they're not coming after you. And when we continue this conversation, we will get a sense of how you think teaching ought to occur so that you develop that ideal student that you identified. And we welcome your participation. If you've got some thoughts about all of this, maybe you think everything's just peachy and the fact that we're flunking out so many students in our school system is because we got a bunch of people that aren't qualified to do anything but flunk out. 888-5-PETER-B is the telephone number here. 888-5-PETER-B. My guest this hour is Michael Laufer, PhD student in mathematics back in New York City, and also a university instructor in calculus and other mathematics, and also my son. I'm Peter Laufer, pleased to be sitting in here for my friend and colleague Peter B. Collins, who's taking the day off in, for whatever reason, Los Angeles, when it is such a gorgeous day here in San Francisco.
See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today. Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
It is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Laufer. Class is in session. Take notes. Get it right. There'll be a test, and you'll have to stay after class if you flunk the test. My guest this hour is my son, and that's Michael Laufer, and he is doing just that. He's teaching back east in New York, and we've got a bunch of callers on the line here. The phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 888-5-PETER-B. And just before we go to you, Jack, and you, Steve, and the others who are waiting, Michael, quickly, if you can, because this is radio, summarize what it is that you think needs to be done differently. Give me a minute or so about what needs to be done differently, and then let's talk to the audience. Are you there? Hello, Michael. That phone line seems to be dead, so we'll try to reconnect with him. Matthew Renner is here producing the program, and he'll reconnect with Michael while I say hello to Jack in Salinas. Hello, Jack in Salinas. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Lawfer with Michael Lawfer somewhere out there in the ether. We'll get connected back up with him.
Well, yeah, well, that's, I was going to ask a question of Michael, because I often wondered when this process of testing and education began, because my understanding of education from going back to Plato Academy and Aristotle and the Lyceum and what they were doing in the universities in Europe in the Middle Ages, it didn't seem like they did that this testing process was always there, but they seem to be able to produce some pretty smart fellows. So,
yeah, indeed. Well, we've got him reconnected here, and let's see if he's got some history there. Jack and Salinas, Michael, wants to know if you've got any sense of when we became burdened by this kind of formalized testing, because as he points out, if we look back to those old days, we don't see much reference to sitting down with a number two pencil and little circles to fill in.
Indeed, he's quite right, and I believe that the change happened sometime in the early 50s. What occurred was when the testing came along, there was a responsibility that started to happen where the teachers had to start towards their tests rather than trying to get their students to understand the concepts. This was a new thing. Now, when you're teaching small groups, or one-on-one, it's relatively easy. You can learn about a person, you can learn the way they think, and you can explain a concept to them. Now, it's a hard thing to do, and it's a significant change that happens in your brain when you learn a new thing. We've all experienced it. But when you then are saddled with a time limit, a semester, and rubric saying these things need to be learned, and you have 40, 50, and in large universities, sometimes hundreds of students in the audience, and they all have to figure it out. It's in your lap. How do you handle that? What occurred was a dramatic change. All of a sudden, somebody said, well, I can't teach the concepts to all of these people. I just can't do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pre-solve the problem. I'm going to set up a procedure that anybody can memorize. And when they do that, they will apply the teacher to this problem. When they finish that, they will have the problem solved, and they'll have the right answer, and it'll look great on the test. And I think it kind of went downhill from there.
Well, that sounds certainly familiar. Jack, how does that sound to you?
Well, that's so you're saying that the process of applying education by a test actually started as late as the 50s, 1950s?
Well, I have to say, it may have started earlier. My indications, I've read mostly in textbooks, I math specifically, but 1952 is about where the textbooks, at least, stopped suggesting why things were true and merely explained how to solve a given problem.
Okay, because the question, and you were cut off for a minute when I called in, but I was just thinking about the universities in the Middle Ages when all this started, and going back to even Plato and Aristotle, and
That's a good point.
They quantified education in the same way that we do now, but it seems like we're actually able to produce some pretty smart people, even though the amount of knowledge that existed at that time was far less, of course, but it seems like we were able to have a fairly successful academic environment without quantifying it the way that we do now. What's changed? What's the difference? Or am I all wet on this?
No, indeed. You make a very important point. During the Middle Ages, the institution of the university arose this way. There were groups of scholars, learned people, who wanted to know more about a specific topic. And what they would do is they would pool their money to send away for an expert in the particular topic that they wanted to study to come and lecture. Now, you have to think about this is a perfect recipe for producing wonderful minds to create great thoughts and a beautiful environment for producing new thoughts and interplay of ideas. Now, the university has become a business. People come in not with the idea of, I want to learn, I want to be a better person always. Certainly there are plenty who do, but much more people come out of high school and they go to college because it's expected of them, because they believe having a degree is going to get them into a better job. And so the process has obscured itself somewhat. I remember in my undergraduate days going to pay my tuition, and there was a big sign over the office that said customer service. And I thought, gosh, I came here to learn, not to pay so that I could be validated by an institution. How strange is this?
Jack, thank you for the call from Salinas, and it's great to have you remembering back to those times when learning was for learning.
So for the Middle Ages. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Okay, great. Good to have you here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Steve in Salinas, I'm Peter Laufer, and you're on the line with me and with Michael Laufer.
Thank you. Yeah, I retired from full-time public school teaching, elementary teaching, a few years ago, mostly because all anybody cares about now are tests and programs, and kids don't matter. All they are numbers, and there's just no room for creativity anymore. We're not allowed to get to really know the kids, know what this kid needs this, and they just don't let us. And I have, it started 5-6 years ago, I guess. It got a whole bunch worse.
Some thoughts on that, Michael?
Indeed. Oftentimes there are these same problems where because you're limited in terms of time and because the people who provide the money, which is certainly important for a school to run, have decided that certain things are more important than other things, a teacher ends up with their hands somewhat tied in terms of what they're able to introduce because they need to teach to the test.
In my mind, I'm pretty sure this, the main objective of No Child Left Behind is to destroy public education. And the best way to do that, the surest way to do that, is to make sure nobody wants to be a teacher. And I have a whole bunch of friends. They're envious of me because I'm old enough to retire. And, you know, teachers are leaving the profession in droves because there's just no creativity. There's no fun to it anymore.
I certainly have heard that also from friends of mine who are teachers, Steve. And what a sad and sorry reality that is if we're correct. And it seems as if we're driving teachers out of the schools because of the overlay from the government.
Okay, thank you.
Indeed, thank you for the call, Steve in Salinas. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you are welcome to at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Michael, you are in the process of saying what you would recommend be done in terms of systems in order to get away from this teaching for the solutions and instead teaching concepts.
Yeah, just that. I think you said it. Now, I've been studying this because as a student myself and, of course, as a teacher, I want to learn as best I can and certainly teach as best I can. And indeed, as well, I've also been part of a project funded by the National Science Foundation trying to study how it is that students assimilate information. And the current working theory that most experts in the field are going by is that they kind of see several levels. One is where a student has mastered mechanics, where they've memorized the procedure and they're able to do some problems. The next one is where they see why it is that they're trying to do what they're doing. And, of course, the highest level is they see the concept so that those tools that at the beginning they were using, they actually build in terms of concepts. Oftentimes, there are many educators who say, oh, gosh, you know, this crop of students, they're so lazy, they're so underprepared, they're so... But it's not their fault either. What happens is they've been stuck, and because the reward is the punishment, what they're given is a grade. And so instead of working to try to learn something, they're working for the grade. And this becomes a Pavlovian sort of training where in math class, students aren't learning really the mathematics. They're learning how mathematics teachers behave and how best to please them, which is, in the minds of many students, do a bunch of problems.
Yeah, it is a vicious cycle, but how do you instill that love, then, of the subject that you developed in someone who's just trying to get through the class?
Well, it's a battle, but I've won several. I'd like to think at least I get some good reports from some of my students with them, whom I'm still in touch. What, as any teacher can do, what you can do is you go back, and before you try to explain mechanics, you explain to the students that there was a reason that this was studied to begin with, that there's a history to the topic, that the questions that they're being asked to answer were inspired, that there was a reason, there were strange things that occurred, people were trying to understand the way the world works. That's why physics developed. They were trying to build tools to do that physics. That's
indeed,
how the mathematics
and
developed.
And we are going to continue this as the hour progresses, but that is such a key, to give it some form that one can hold on to so that there is a reason to want to know it rather than just a need to know it in order to get through the class. It's the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA in Monterey, KPHX in Phoenix, KSAC in Sacramento, KGOE in Eureka, on the internet where you can find it. I'm Peter Lauffer, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. Pleased to have Michael Lauffer on the line talking about teaching and learning. And Michael, I've got a test coming up for you.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
Tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Lawfer, sitting in today, this nice Friday, for Peter B. Collins. Coming up next hour, we'll be talking about Katrina the storm, the aftermath a year later, and talk radio. We'll kick around talk radio, and it needs some kicking around. This hour we are, if you're just joining us, talking about education, teaching, and learning. Michael Lawfer, my son, PhD student in math back in New York City, and also university instructor in math, on the line, and we have been analyzing what Michael suggests comes down to the value of teaching concept, not content. Now, Michael, here's the pop quiz, okay?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm glad you're ready. Now, I've seen you do this. You did it once at a Thanksgiving dinner, I think it was, that we went to. It might be a little bit harder on the radio, and instead of just one person, you've got an audience of however many Peter B. Collins has been able to collect in his radio audience. Pick something in math, because that's your specialty, and in the next few minutes that we have here, tell us what it is that you're going to teach us, and show us how it is that you're teaching concept instead of content, and let us come away from these next few minutes before 4 o'clock knowing something that many of us may well not know about math. Is that fair? Everybody should know that I didn't prepare you for this because I figured this would make it more fun.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. And I have done this before.
It's a party trick. It's a great party trick. Yes.
Yes, indeed, a party trick.
Okay, so take something. Tell us what it is you're going to teach us, okay?
Okay, well, what I get more often than not from people is they say, usually, I barely passed trigonometry. I didn't understand a thing. And that's when I stopped taking math.
Okay.
Oftentimes people say that. And these are intelligent people. The thing that I find most depressing...
Hey, remember the clock's ticking.
Indeed, the clock's ticking, but it won't take long.
Okay.
The thing that I find most depressing about the mathematics people being turned off by is that they feel that they're not smart, which is really incorrect. It's just that they haven't been given the concept. So, trigonometry is relatively simple.
In the next 7 minutes, you're going to teach us trigonometry?
It won't even take that long.
Okay.
So, trigonometry is based on the circle. Now, we all know the circle very well. And trigonometry is merely, and now it's almost a misnomer because we think of triangles when we say trigonometry. Now, how does this work? Well, it's rather simple.
Now you might want to know that just automatically as you said that, Matthew Renner, producer, and I have both on our pads in front of us drawn circles at the same time as you said that.
Okay. So, if you're doing this, and for the people who are doing it at home, draw a circle, and then draw crosshairs. You know,
okay.
A vertical line going through the center and a horizontal line going through the center.
We've done that.
Okay. So, what happens in trigonometry? Well, in trigonometry, we're talking about triangles, and we're trying to relate the ratios of the size of the sides of the triangle, right? Just meaning the shape, essentially. We're talking about the different shapes of different triangles and how that relates to an angle. Now, we're going to measure out an angle. So, starting from the center of the circle, if you imagine, if you're just doing this in your head, the line of the crosshairs that goes from the center off to the right. Okay?
Okay.
And then we can draw a line that's some angle upward of that, that's going to the upper right, just into that quadrant. So just go ahead, draw a line that direction.
From the center.
From the center, going off.
Randomly off into the 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock zone.
Yes, so somewhere in there.
Okay.
And so as you do that, right, and for those of you who are just doing it in your mind, you can imagine this line. And this line is going from the center of this crosshair sort of idea off to the upper right. And it has to cross through the circle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's doing it. And you've got about 5 minutes. I just have to be the timekeeper for you because I want you to pass this test.
Fair enough. So now what you do is you take that point where it hits the circle and you draw a line down to the horizontal portion of the crosshairs.
Got it.
Now you've got a triangle.
Certainly do, and a handsome one it is.
Now, oftentimes when people take trigonometry, they hear about the sine, the cosine, and the tangent. And even people who did very well in trigonometry often come away wondering what exactly those things are.
Indeed.
Okay, now if we assume that this circle has radius of 1, okay?
Okay.
Now here's what we do. We're going to, the sine, cosine, and tangent are measures of the angle. So that angle between that line that we drew and the horizontal is the angle in question.
Okay.
Now, we have three sides of the triangle, the one that was the line that we drew.
Yep.
The horizontal portion and the vertical portion that we just drew in.
That's right.
Now, here's the sine. The sine is the height of that vertical portion of the triangle.
Okay.
Cosine is the length of the horizontal portion.
Okay.
And the tangent is just those divided. You divide one by the other, and that's the tangent.
Okay.
And, of course, trigonometry really should be a semester-long course, but that's what most people take away from it. And, of course, you go on, and the thing is that this characterizes the shape of the triangle. The triangle, any right triangle, can be completely characterized by the ratio of the sides. And if you think about a right triangle, one that has one right angle, you're just varying the lengths of the sides. It's as though you had the corner of a room and you were drawing a tape measure straight across from one wall to the next. It's going to be entirely determined by what the lengths are along the walls. And that's all trigonometry is.
So we're done? I passed?
You passed.
And I can now get my degree because I've got my math requirement taken care of.
In my university, you would.
Okay. And maybe that's one way to handle it. Maybe we should get over feeling we have to go to so-called accredited universities and go just learn out there.
I think that's a really valid thing, and I encourage people to do that as much as possible.
But that's the as much as possible is so important, and it can be dangerous, to, especially over the radio, to be advocating, as Timothy Leary did so long ago, turn on, tune out, and turn on, tune in, and drop out. Because, obviously, you're not doing that, and you've decided that you want to have a piece of paper. That's why you're pursuing the PhD. So where's that balance?
The balance is this. You may go to an accredited institution, you may not, but in either event, you have to take it upon yourself to learn because nobody will ever teach you. They can only help you learn.
Okay. That sounds good. That's a good way to end it, except I want to give you one more opportunity here because I know it's something that you and Peter B. Collins share, and that is your interest in helping the people who are incarcerated at San Quentin Prison here in California. And so take the last couple of seconds we have here to say a few words about the program there for those people to get a degree that's important to them.
Indeed. It's really a wonderful program. It's called the Patton College Prison University Project. I believe it's a prisonuniversityproject.org. If you're a teacher of any subject, you can volunteer. There's tutoring. They do things by correspondence. I encourage everybody in the Bay Area to get involved. They also accept donations. They're a volunteer organization entirely, and they're hard up for cash, and they're doing some of the best work that's being done in the California Department of Corrections right now.
And that website again is?
It's prisonuniversityproject.org.
Okay, I'll check it right now just to make sure that that is correct. And thank you, Michael Laufer. There it is, prisonuniversityproject.org for the Patton University at San Quentin, the 2005 graduating class. Some of them, your students, I think, are pictured
Indeed,
there.
The valedictorian was. I tutored him in math.
That's wonderful. Michael Laufer.
I'm quite proud of him, I am.
Pleasure to have you on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Thank you for spending this hour with us.
Thank you for having me.
And it is, as I said, the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Peter Laufer. And I am looking forward to you sticking around next hour as we talk about the aftermath of Katrina and devastate talk radio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Security scares in the air.
There's no doubt nerves everywhere on a razor's edge.
Ernesto, a new storm that could threaten the Gulf Coast.
We have issued tropical storm watches for the south coast of Haiti and also for the island of Jamaica.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Hundreds of air travelers face diversions and delays today because of security concerns on at least six flights. In Houston, screeners detected dynamite in the luggage on a flight from Argentina. Mark Mancuso is an airport public safety official.
The luggage was going through the process of clearing customs at this point. And during that inspection process, the customs inspectors opened the luggage and found this small quantity of explosives.
It belongs to a college student from Connecticut who says he works in mining and often handles explosives. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports on some of the day's other incidents.
An American Airlines jet with 179 people aboard from Manchester, England, bound for Chicago, made an emergency landing in Bangor, Maine, after British authorities alerted the U.S. that one of the passengers may have been on a terror watch list. He wasn't, but all bags were searched and passengers questioned. And all of that after a U.S. Airways flight was diverted to Oklahoma City with a disruptive passenger aboard. And an Aer Lingus flight from New York to Dublin had to be searched in Ireland after a bogus report of a bomb on board.
Is this what flyers have to expect? CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano takes a look.
We've turned the corner in airline travel, a security corner of increased hassles when we fly. Mary Schiavo is the former Department of Transportation Inspector General.
I'm afraid it's probably going to get worse because we know for a fact, since they've been at it for many decades now, that the terrorists will come back at the system.
But passenger advocate Terry Tripler blames the airlines and the TSA for being so silent about the rules.
I almost think we need a remedial course in what not to say of the airport.
Lou Miliano, CBS News.
Now this.
To Office Depot for hot deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, packs of Crayola markers or filler paper are just 25 cents each. And get an unbelievable deal on a TI-83 Plus graphing calculator while supplies last. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry in to Office Depot today. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Expect to hear more in the days ahead about Ernesto. The season's latest tropical storm formed today about 300 miles south-southwest of Puerto Rico. Meteorologist Robbie Berg at the National Hurricane Center says conditions favor strengthening.
It looks like in the next couple of days there is a possibility that we could see it form into a hurricane, say Monday or Tuesday, as it reaches the far northwest Caribbean and heads into the Gulf of Mexico.
Debbie, the other tropical storm, has weakened in the eastern Atlantic and poses no threat to land. Berg's boss at the National Hurricane Center has announced plans to retire in January. 57-year-old Max Mayfield says he needs some rest.
The last couple of hurricane seasons can wear anybody down, and it's worn me down a little bit.
He's been with the agency 34 years. Northwest Airlines flight attendants had threatened to start sporadic strikes tonight, but today, federal judge Victor Marrero Aero in New York, who's considering the dispute between the union and the airline, blocked a walkout. Union spokesman Ricky Thornton says that's okay.
It's just a temporary situation. We believe that once Judge Marrow has an opportunity to rule on the merits of the case, he will decide that we have a right to strike.
Northwest, seeking to save $195 million a year on flight attendants, imposed a 21% pay cut and increased employee contributions for health insurance. JonBenet Ramsey's murder suspect, John Carr, will make his first appearance before a Colorado judge on Monday.
I'm Lee Frank in Boulder. Carr will be represented at his initial court appearance by public defender Seth Temin, who quickly filed a motion to seal the indigency application handwritten by Carr. Some handwriting analysts have compared samples of Carr's writing to that on the ransom note, with experts disagreeing about whether Carr appears to have written it. Patsy Ramsey reported finding the ransom note the morning her daughter was reported missing.
Gerald Ford is said to be resting comfortably after an angioplasty. Doctors at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, inserted two stents to improve blood flow to his heart. The 93-year-old former president got a pacemaker on Monday. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
It is the Peter B. Collins program across the West Coast. I'm Peter Lauffer, pleased to be here for my friend and colleague Peter B. today, and pleased to welcome Ellen Ratner to the program. Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
It sounds like you're at the train station. Where are you?
Well, no, actually, I am down in Mississippi, and we're trying to get someplace, and we have one of those GPS things that talks to you.
I see. Well, switch it. Now, here's the challenge. Before I even tell anybody who you are and what we're doing here, here's the challenge. I did this one time in New York just for fun. You switch it over to Korean.
And if switch it over to Korean?
You switch it over to Korean, unless you speak Korean. I don't speak Korean, so it was that
no,
it wouldn't
I
be.
Don't
it's,
speak
it's,
Korean.
Okay, then it'll be fun. You switch it over to Korean, and you try to figure it out. It just gives a little more of a challenge to it, and it's a really.
I'm sure, but I think down here in Mississippi, we have all the challenges we need.
I'm sure. Now, there's a couple of disclaimers first. Ellen Ratner's on the line here, author of the new book Ready, Set, Talk, which deals with talk radio and specifically how to get your message onto talk radio. The two disclaimers are, we are published by the same publisher, a fine publishing house, Chelsea Green, which has published my most recent book, Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. So we're colleagues, and we're in lockstep around this publishing house, and I think everybody ought to know that, Ellen, right?
And Dr. Lauffer, you have a wonderful book that I understand is now going to get even bigger.
Well, that's what it looks like, and thank you for those kind words. But, yes, it's been getting some terrific attention. Now, the second disclaimer, Ellen, is about a dozen years ago I wrote a book called Inside Talk Radio, which is a severe indictment of the medium. And if, as I said earlier today, even if I were not such a First Amendment absolutist, I'd almost be ready to say talk radio ought to be illegal. Before we get to your book specifically and the techniques you teach, which are so important, how is it that this medium has been hijacked from us by so many who are manipulating it as such garbage?
You know, it's interesting because I think that the blogs in some respects have gone more Democratic and the talk radio is more Republican. But in fact, it's really anybody who has something edgy to say who's on the outs. And unfortunately, the Republicans have been able to say things edgy and look like they're on the outs although they're
but Ellen, isn't it more than
who runs Congress?
Isn't it more than a Republican issue? Hasn't if we just take the politics out of it for a second, hasn't the medium itself become coarse to the point of almost ludicrousness?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what happens is it's not just that it's coarse; it's that it does not deal with details. And in fact, you know, Air America's out there, and some people are concerned about Air America and whether they're going to make it or not. And one of the things that people say to me is, you know, we don't want Air America to be the opposite of Rush Limbaugh. We want, like, maybe public radio with more of an edge. So Democrats really want a very different radio than Republicans necessarily want.
Yeah, but again, just getting the politics out of it, what I'm hearing as I listen to an awful lot of talk radio, and you say edgy, what I'm hearing is, the word that keeps coming back to me is a coarseness where it's shock for shock's sake, not trying to build an art or to develop content that would have some kind of value to take away.
You know, if you look at what is on all over the place, I mean, if you look at television these days, things that build audience are shock kinds of things. And I think that's really where our culture is, and we have to deal with that. Meanwhile, that's where the culture is, so the idea is to be able to figure out a way of getting around that to hear an important message, whatever important message you might have.
And that's where your book comes in. And again, the book is Ready, Set, Talk. And the premise of that book is to help guide those who have a message, even if it's a commercial message, a selfish message, something that you just want to get out there because you've got a product to sell or a book to peddle or maybe something more altruistic. You have a point of view that you want to get across, and you feel that you've got some ideas there on how to manipulate the medium that every man can figure out.
Yes, I mean, first of all, you know, the issue is to get out in front of people and to do something creative, whether it's what Jib Jab did with This Land Is Your Land before the election, or even what Hallmark did, and I'm sorry, it was American Greetings did around Thanksgiving with their turkey message, I Will Survive, anything. In fact, here I am down in the Gulf, because actually all the proceeds from my book are going to be for Katrina survivors. We're trying to build a community center in Mississippi. But if you want to get some press, do what they're going to be doing tomorrow, which is the NAACP and some folks are getting together, and they're going to do hands around the Coliseum, Superdome, with a march to the convention center, and that will get press. So that's a very creative way. You can have all the millions of press conferences that everybody's been having, but if you do something that attracts attention of the press, you will get some press.
Gimmicks.
The gimmicks, and also the internet. Using the internet when the press will not do what you want them to do.
But specifically for getting your act, whatever your act may be, on talk radio, are there techniques that you feel are singular to that medium?
First of all, the best thing to do yourself on talk radio, particularly if you have an issue that is not really like top of the road, JonBenet Ramsey or Bill Clinton sexy, and that is to do something to get to know the host, to get to know the people, because you are much more likely, when you get to know the hosts and producers, to get your show on the, or to get your idea on the air.
Yeah, but that requires some kind of insider status that a lot of people don't have.
No, I mean, you'd be surprised how many people bring cookies to hosts and make sure that they show up at their public events and get to know them and talk to them. So, you know, it's a long-term strategy planning. If you think you're going to have issues that need to get on the air, then one of the things I think you need to do is to make sure you get to know the media.
And how about differentiating? There are now so many talk shows all over the country on so many stations. Can't somebody be wasting their time by not targeting that carefully and end up on a show where there are no listeners?
Well, you know, first of all, as somebody said, there isn't a radio show in the country that can't fill up a car salesroom. And, you know, most stations have at least a few hundred listeners. Would you take a speaking engagement that had a few hundred listeners? Obviously, you know, Pat Buchanan actually just called me up the other day. He's got a new book out. And he wanted to know about the Talkers 100, or actually Talkers now 250 list. I'm the political editor of Talkers magazine. So I directed him to our website, talkers.com, and you can get the 250 top talk shows in the country. So you might want to start there in terms of audience. But, you know,
your point is well taken.
Issue is environment, maybe you want to get on every garden show.
Yeah, your point is well taken, and you certainly would be comfortable if you could fill up a hall with a few hundred people, so why not fill up a radio show with a few hundred people? My guest this time around right now is Ellen Ratner, who is the author of the book Ready, Set, Talk, helping you learn how to get onto talk radio. And if you want to get onto this talk radio show and ask some questions of Ellen, you are welcome to by dialing 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B. You can hang on with us for a few more minutes, can't you, Ellen? And we can kick this around
a little
bit.
I can give you about five more minutes. I'm actually about to do a big dinner event here in Mississippi, but
okay.
Give me 5, 7, 10 minutes and I'll do it.
Well, we look forward to that, so stick around. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Peter Lawfer.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. This week, Glenn Plantone will be our guest on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Some of his hot spots are North Carolina and Costa Rica. Give him a call at 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at traffic in and around the Monterey Bay for a Friday. Slow traffic already underway northbound Highway 17. It's a given pretty much. From Highway 85 to Los Gatos, it's slow to Hamilton Avenue and Camdel. Now, not too bad in the Summit area yet, but it is Friday, so we can expect that stretch to load up from the Summit area into Santa Cruz. We'll keep a close eye on it for you. In Castroville, it is our accident. Highway 183 at Espinosa Road. An injury crash here. A vehicle overturned and landed into a field, so obviously not blocking traffic, but emergency crews are just showing up now. They will most likely block that right-hand lane. Use extra caution in the area. This look at traffic is brought to you by your San Jose Land Rover Retail Center. The Range Rover Sport by Land Rover on December 17th. It experienced rush hour at 200 feet below Tokyo. See it at LandRoverUSA.com or visit your San Jose area Land Rover Retail Center today. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
It is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Laufer, sitting in for Peter while he takes a day off in Los Angeles. Glad to have you listening, and glad to have Ellen Ratner on the line, the author of the book Ready, Set, Talk, and as you mentioned, the writer for Talkers Magazine. And what are you doing with the talk radio news operation?
Well, I'm the founder and bureau chief, and I actually sold the company to the folks that own Talkers, and so now I'm just a lowly bureau chief there, and we're a news service for talk radio stations around the country, and actually several of us have been down here at the Gulf because we actually took this rebuilding as a project of talk radio news, and so we've been very, very involved in it.
That's spectacular.
That's where I am today. Actually, the dinner that I'm going to, they're giving me a little birthday party tonight, so that's kind of fun.
Well, happy birthday. Now, listen, we're talking about talk shows and how someone with a message can get onto a talk show, and talking about, as I keep using the word, the coarseness of so many talk shows. How do you differentiate to choose which show you want to be on? As you correctly stated, Ellen, if you can get on a show with a few hundred listeners, you shouldn't debunk the value of that, because that's a few hundred people you're talking to. But what about the shows that tend to use the guests just as fodder, as fall guys to be able to raise their own profiles? Can't that become counterproductive if you're not very skillful at how to talk on the radio?
Sure, you don't want to look like an idiot. On the other hand, give me a show with big numbers, be it Hannity or Limbaugh, and have them mention my book, my cause, and if I don't look like a complete idiot when I do the show, I have to remember that even on Rush Limbaugh's show, a third, and Hannity's show, a third of his listeners are considered liberal. And so 25 to 33% generally.
And what, they're listening just to get themselves mad, or because they are laughing at him, or what?
Some are laughing, some are getting themselves mad, and some really want to hear how the other side thinks.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, because I would be interested to know your counsel. Something came up with me just a couple of weeks ago. I was invited to appear on the Bill O'Reilly television talk show, and I had to decide whether or not that was a good idea or not, whether or not I should take on that that forum, if it would be counterproductive, if I would be used and abused in a way that would reflect poorly on me. What would your advice have been, Ellen?
My advice is you're pretty good. You're pretty smooth. You're a likable personality. Go on it. You don't want to go on it if you have the ego the size of Texas and you're a jerk.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to balance that out, right?
Even though he's unlikable in the way he may approach you, go on it.
Now, let me tell you what happened, because in fact, he was quite gracious, but the introduction was interesting. I was in San Francisco in a television studio. He was back in New York. I'm sitting there facing that camera and waiting during a spot break before my segment comes on, and he comes into my ear and says, "Hey, Peter, O'Reilly here." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to state what you have to say, and then I'm going to make fun of you."
And fine, he said.
Well, that was the preparation. I said okay, and I thought that the transparency was fascinating. And then we had our encounter. It was a 5 or 8 minute encounter on the air. And as I say, he was quite gracious throughout it. I disagree completely with about 99.9% of what he says, but in terms
right,
of
right. But remember, he's there for one thing: to make money and entertain. And you're there to help them make money, but you're also there to make sure people see who you are and to either buy your book or understand your point of view, even though somebody... You look at all the people that show up on The Daily Show that are complete wacko-doodle-doos, but, you know, they're willing to get on The Daily Show because even the mention of their issue is good press.
Any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
Almost. Now, let me ask you this, Ellen. You said he's there to make money and to entertain. And to get back to the premise of the beginning of this conversation regarding what is talk radio all about and should it be illegal, is there something just base about our culture at this time that we have somebody, whether it's O'Reilly or not, I'm not picking on him right now particularly, but if we have somebody that we're putting up on the public airwaves to make money and entertain, and they're using the news, we don't care whether or not what they're saying is accurate because we just want to laugh. There is no fact-checking. There's no cross-checking. And they have the complete power of 3 hours, 5 days a week, banging away at these things. Are we doing something that maybe could be considered dangerous?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. And, I mean, you can say that it's dangerous. We have free speech in this society. I mean, just remember that if you want to talk about danger, that at one point Father Coughlin in the 40s, who did really started out sort of okay and then turned to a real hate talk show host, they didn't get calls, and he had 70 full-time secretaries answering his hate things, and finally the Catholic Church had to threaten to take away his priesthood if he continued on radio. So hate radio and that kind of stuff is nothing new.
No, that's absolutely correct.
And people listen.
And the border blasters were selling products that were worthless way back in that same time period.
That's true.
The goat glands.
I think, look, if you can get your issue out, even though it's an evil, horrible radio show, and you're not going to look like a total fool, but you're going to look like a nice person, the host may even look like a fool, go for it. That's what to do.
Well, Matthew Renner, the producer here at the Peter B. Collins Show, just wrote me a note that said Rwanda. How about that as an example of what radio can do that's past entertainment and past making money and becomes actually dangerous to society?
You mean when people like Rwanda spew hate? Well, hate speech is, as I understand it, illegal in this country. And so I don't think you're ever going to see Rwanda happen here. Obviously, there's a crossing of the line, and, you know, that has got to be stopped. Fortunately, and I talk about it in Ready, Set, Talk, there's something called the public file, and every radio and television station in this country must maintain a public file. It has to be open to the public during business hours. Any complaints that they get, any letters, all of that has to be available. They can also put it on disk for you. And if you think that somebody is really engaging in hate speech, go to their public file. Begin to make comments in their public file. That will come up at their FCC licensing, and you can, in fact, influence people dramatically. Also go after their advertisers.
You know, those are all important ways to get involved. And before we say goodbye to you and let you go off to that birthday dinner, Ellen Ratner, Ready, Set, Talk is the name of the book. Three words in the title. Three of your best tips for the audience that wants to get onto talk radio.
First, get to know the medium and the people, as I said, who are doing it so that you can become friendly with them and have an entree into them. Two, be very, very passionate about what you want to talk about and express that passion when you're talking to the producer or the booker. And third, be a nice person, because if you are arrogant, the microphone magnifies.
Yes, and the show host might not put up with you.
That is for sure.
Ellen Ratner, Ready, Set, Talk. Where can somebody find the book?
You can find it, I hope, in the bookstore so far, but you definitely can find it online pretty much anywhere.
Ready, Set, Talk. You have a good time at the dinner there in the Gulf.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen. And there she goes. And as I mentioned earlier, full disclosure, I know Peter B. Collins would approve. Chelsea Green is the publisher of Ready, Set, Talk. Chelsea Green, also the publisher of my most recent book, Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. And speaking of the Gulf, we will be talking about Katrina 1 year later with another Chelsea Green author momentarily here on the Peter B. Collins program. Join us if you wish. 1-888-5-PETER-B. It's a beautiful day on the West Coast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Did you hear the show When God Called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow wow. to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA
yeah,
Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Lauffer, most pleased to be sitting in for Peter B. this day, and happy to be speaking with you around the West Coast in Monterey, Phoenix, Sacramento, Eureka. And we might want to consider this the Chelsea Green Hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, because the disclaimer continues. Are you there, Jolene?
I am.
And I have to tell the audience that that just as Ellen Ratner is published by Chelsea Green, and we just spoke with her about the book Ready, Set, Talk, and you are published by Chelsea Green with your book Through the Eye, so am I published by Chelsea Green with my latest book Mission Rejected. So we just have to be transparent about this. We all like each other. We like Chelsea Green, and we think we've all written great books, right?
That's right.
Now, Through the Eye is a fascinating melange, because you went down. Well, you are an intriguing personality that people will know when they read the book. You have been a U2 pilot, and you now fly for United Airlines, and you've been a news reporter. You were embedded over in Iraq, and then you decided you wanted to go down and cover what happened after Katrina passed through the Gulf, and instead you got seduced basically by the Gulf, right?
Well, that's right. I actually, my main sort of mission, I guess you would say, since you're fond of that word, Peter,
yes,
with your book, is to really go down and deliver relief supplies. I mean, for me and so many others, I'm sure yourself included in this, and your wife, was that you just felt like it was a moral imperative. I mean, seeing these images on television and the fact that it's within our borders, and it just seemed like it didn't have to be that way. And I felt really compelled to go down there. I was supposed to take vacation anyway, so that's how we went down. And then,
and you went down with some supplies. You didn't just go down to poke around.
That's right. Ellen Ratner, you just talked with, my partner, she put together with donations from different people, we all basically pitched in and put together a 17-foot U-Haul trailer that we drove down there, truck from Memphis, Tennessee, with a friend of hers from dating back from middle school, Eleanor Gibson. And that was our first, you know, we really didn't know what to expect, and that's how we got involved with this community. And now,
how did you decide where? How did you decide where that 17-foot trailer full of supplies was going to go?
Right, that's a great question, because so many people tried to go down or volunteer, but weren't really used or weren't able to get down there. What happened was, Ellen actually met a woman when she was working. My mother's an editor; she was working with my mom in Texas on her book Ready, Set, Talk, and flying back, and she flew through Jackson, Mississippi. And this woman, an attorney, African-American woman from Mississippi, was flying to D.C. for a couple of weeks just to get her kids sort of out of the aftermath of the storm, while her husband, Myrick Nix, prepared the school. Had quite a bit of damage to their high school, Goshen High School. So that's how we connected with this family. And Chantrell is very community-minded, and also her aunt and uncle each have small churches in rural Mississippi. And so between Chantrell's sort of community work that she had done, coupled with these two reverends, Rosemary and Theodore Williams, we were able to figure out what people wanted and put together a packing list.
And so much attention, understandably and appropriately, was given to New Orleans that a lot of people maybe didn't realize or now have forgotten that the devastation was region-wide.
Yes, and I think there's an important distinction, which sort of over the course of a year of going back and forth down there maybe 10 times and working in Mississippi, but also going to New Orleans as well, the distinction between the two that I get, Peter, is that in Mississippi it's very clear this was a natural disaster. And there's, you know, the sentiment down there is that, well, we're not happy with the government response and bureaucratic red tape and the lack of insurance companies paying, but you know what, this was a natural disaster. Whereas in New Orleans, it was essentially a man-made disaster,
right,
on top of a relatively minor natural disaster in terms of, you know, it didn't have to be this way. Had the levees not broken or been breached, we wouldn't really be talking about New Orleans on any significant level right now.
Right, and so then you got your U-Haul down there into the needy part of Mississippi. You started to unload the supplies, and then you started to experience some personal changes that resulted in the book, Through the Eye. What kinds of things happened to you, Jolene?
Yes, I mean, essentially, it was sort of through the eye of the storm, which, like the title of the book, that I had sort of regained my sense of faith, I guess you would say, in the human spirit, and the sense that we can really overcome any disaster, natural or man-made, through this sense of community and that we're all part of the same family. And honestly, Peter, I mean, I went to Iraq like many of your soldiers and Marines that you write about, and came home somewhat lost. I went back hoping during the reconstruction to find some sense of hope and hope that I had been wrong about the war, but I was even more disillusioned. And I think that there was this feeling that I wanted to fix it. You know, I wanted to make Iraq better. I wanted this to have been the right decision. And I couldn't fix it. I mean, it was too hopeless, and there were too many variables there. But yet this situation in Mississippi, well, I can't take away everyone's pain and build a new house for everyone. I really felt like I could make a difference.
So the lesson is that during times, especially times like these, where it feels that calamity just is everywhere, we should focus and pick something that we really can affect?
I think so. For me, it certainly was the antidote to my own sort of sense of bitterness and disillusion and frustration. Of course, as a commercial airline pilot, I mean, we've certainly been through our difficult times, and I work for United Airlines. I lost one of my classmates on September 11th from the Air Force Academy, and was actually supposed to be a passenger on that flight that he was flying, Flight 93, the one that crashed in Pennsylvania. And so, you know, there was this a lot of, let's say, low-grade anxiety, I think. And I think it exists in our society today.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. I mean, I think that it's all but impossible to have a social evening with friends or family and not have that come up, that there is what would the right word be? There's a pall over us as a society because of what's been going on the last several years.
And I think one of the things that sort of is probably even more palatable than this sort of war on terror sort of backdrop on a lot of our public policy is an economic anxiety and not really knowing, you know, you've got more people on assistance and more people that have uncertainty, whether it's their retirement being in jeopardy or their job or their industry or mergers, acquisitions. And to go to an area where people have lost everything, I mean, regardless of race, economic status. I mean, if you lose your equity in your home, if your home's worth $70,000 or worth $700,000, if you've lost all the equity in your home, I mean, you have nothing, basically. Now, the person with the $700,000 home arguably would be able to get credit more easily, be able to be reemployed someplace else or back where his or her job was. But there's still this level of mass devastation, and you realize, relatively speaking, you know, it's all sort of relative that well, I can sort of count my blessings here and help them with the hand up.
You can count your blessings, and so that helps perhaps get yourself through the day. But how do you feel that helping one or two people, and I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from you, how does that have an effect when we realize how huge the overall problems are?
I think that it's sort of this mentality of being with someone in their time of need, and I think that you probably, going back to your book, Mission Rejected, I think that, you know, you talk about a lot of these young men who felt terrible, that, you know, their allegiance and their loyalty is really to their buddy. And anyone who's been through a war understands that you're not really fighting for your country. You're fighting for that person sitting next to you.
Exactly.
Or standing next to you. And there's this sense of camaraderie. And when you enter into, you know, whether it's a death in the family or someone who's struggling with maybe an addiction issue or through school or whatever, and you find that, you know, you go in there and you work with them on some level and just even be there, that there's a change within yourself as well. You become, I think, a better person. You're able to, it's almost like the immune system. You know, I sort of joke that our emotional immune systems have become somewhat somewhat sterilized and therefore begin to start to attack themselves if we isolate ourselves from the suffering of other people, whether it's around the world or in our own home.
Yeah, and now a year later, are you in touch with the people that you made contact with at that time?
Yes, the book, Through the Eye of the Storm, all the profits go to a 501c3 that we've formed called the Pass Christian, the Lille, Two Little Towns, a community center. And Ellen and I have gone back down there, one or the other, every 6 weeks pretty much since the storm.
Yeah, we just talked to her on the show, and she was down there.
She's there, exactly. They're throwing her a big birthday party. That shows you how close we've gotten
to them.
That's
just spectacular. And can you see palpable effects of the work that you've done?
Yes. I mean, well, here's what it is that we've been able to raise, including my investment to buy land to build an education center and a swimming pool, we've raised on top of that $600,000, and we think that we'll get a government grant and be able to go ahead and break ground this October. And so you see people, here's what you see is that, I mean, obviously we've bought building supplies and we've helped people get on their feet and we've filled out SBA loan applications, and some people have gotten these loans and they've been able to rebuild, and that's gratifying. But when you see that the looks on their faces and the sense of hope and gratitude that someone is going to actually invest in them, not, you know, to build a casino, not to build some other business or big condo, but to build an education center for their children and for themselves and a swimming pool to teach them how to swim when so few people know how down there, and which is why many people thought they lost so many people during the storm. And you see how that impacts them. It gives them a much, it just seems to give them, you know, a large sense of pride and hope.
Sure, sure. The book is, and the full title, I've been skipping the back end of it, you're right, Through the Eye of the Storm, and Cholene Espinosa is the author, my colleague at Chelsea Green. It's a pleasure to be talking with you, and we will continue this conversation, Cholene, momentarily, if you don't have to go rush off to the airport and warm up a jet.
No, that's tomorrow morning. So.
Okay, good. This is the Peter B. Collins Program. I'm Peter Lawfer, and it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let's take a look at the traffic situation in and around the Monterey Bay. Fridays are always just a little bit more busy, and we've got problems in Salinas already. Highway 183 at Cooper Road, an injury crash where the vehicle overturned and landed into the field. The emergency crews are blocking the right-hand lane. Over to Prunedale, Crazy Horse Canyon Road at Highway 101, a stalled big rig blocking at least two lanes of traffic there. In Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1 at Highway 17, watch for a stalled vehicle in the right-hand lane. And Monterey checks in, southbound Highway 1 at Highway 68, a crash just reported. Also in the Marina area, southbound Highway 1 before Reservation Road, watch for an object on the road. A piece of metal could do some damage. This look brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combination of nutrients to bring you their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
It is the Peter B. Collins program, and I am Peter Lawfer, sitting here for my friend and colleague Peter B., who is taking the day off with his family in Los Angeles, and I am pleased to have on the line with me from, where are you right now, Cholene?
I'm in New York City.
You're in New York City. Cholene Espinosa is the author of the Chelsea Green book, Through the Eye of the Storm, a book dedicated to what Katrina washed away. And as we mentioned and you mentioned, you are also a United Airlines pilot. We've talked about how here we are, Chelsea Green colleagues, and I fly so often on United. I'm one of these 100K passengers. I just can't believe.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for taking good care of me, but I can't believe we've never been on the same plane together.
Yeah, well, we probably have. You just didn't know.
What, do you use a different name when you announce yourself from the cockpit?
Well, do you keep a log there?
Yeah, I guess I don't. But let's take advantage for a minute of your position as a pilot, because we are talking overall about this post 9/11 period, and it just seems that step by step, so much of the romance of air travel that I took my first airplane ride when I was 2 months old. I was born in Rochester, New York, and my family was moving to Madison, Wisconsin. My father was already at the new job, and my mother took my sister and 2-month-old me in a DC-3 to Milwaukee. I don't remember it well, Cholene, but I've been flying since then, and I sure remember the days when there was such romance attached to it. Are we ever going to see that again, or are you operating the Greyhound bus of the air now?
I would be very surprised if we see that sort of romance again. I mean, you know, not obviously to give a commercial here. United has one particular service called the PS Premium Service.
And boy, is that swank. I've been on that. That's the service that goes across the country from New York to both San Francisco and Los Angeles. And I'm not giving a commercial here either. But I stumbled on it by chance, and I had a lowly tourist ticket, and I felt like I was on the top of a 747 going to Europe.
That's right. And so obviously, you know, they've plucked out this little teeny market that is a very high-end market between the coast of the U.S. But by and large, you know, it's a commoditized industry. And so when you go to the Internet and you're just basically picking the lowest fare that you can get, I mean, by and large, that's what the case is, you know, sort of evolved into.
So does it affect the romance on your side of the cockpit door, too? Sometimes I look at pilots and they're struggling through the security, or they're rushing with some sloppy cup of coffee, and they look just like I look, and I think, geez, it's not just me. They're not having any fun anymore.
Well, it has a lot to do with the pay cut. I mean, United pilots have taken a 50% pay cut, and we've lost our defined benefit plan, which was a sort of, you know, kind of one of the last bastions of worker benefits, where you are actually paid a salary. And so, you know, you sort of, I mean, it's an integral part of your self-esteem is what you make, obviously, in many cases, and particularly if you're doing a job and then all of a sudden they say you're worth half of what you were. and then our work hours have increased quite a bit. So, you know, people are tired, and all the regular stresses of life of, you know, trying to make ends meet and make a house payment that was based on a budget that was twice of what you thought it was going to be. So that, I think it's the uncertainty, you know, especially with, you have the rumors of mergers and acquisitions and consolidation, I guess is the correct, politically correct terminology. But at the end of the day, it's all about losing jobs and pay for the American workers.
Yeah, but so far we haven't figured out how to automate your job. There is,
right?
But that day could come. We've got drones flying around for the military, so maybe we could have drones bringing me back and forth between San Francisco and New York. Who knows? But there is still, no matter how much we complain, both on my side and your side of the cockpit door, there is that magic moment when the plane leaves terra firma and the wheels go up, and there's no Greyhound bus that can, well, it should be doing that anyway.
That's right. Well, and therein lies the key thing. I still love flying. I mean, it's magical to me. It's you feel like you're escaping. You know, it's kind of funny. I was doing my pre-flight cockpit check last week, and this little boy was getting on the plane, and he sort of peeked up into the cockpit, and then I heard him tell his mother, "I saw the pilots," and you know, kind of like we're the panda bears or something like that. But
yes,
you know, it was kind of funny. You realize, especially the little kids, still see the magic, and oh, there's the pilot. You know, I guess everybody likes to think they have kind of a cool job, But
you definitely do, absolutely. And I remember that in one of the unfortunate post 9/11 realities, my youngest son was invited. We were on Icelandic, going over to Europe, and the pilot, it was the stewardess too. It was her idea. She said, "Would your son like to see the cockpit?" And there he was, as we're flying over the ocean, hanging out with the pilot and the co-pilot. Nothing can compare with that for a 5-year-old kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even for me, I love being up there too.
That's right.
Ed is on the line, Jolene from Aptos, who's called up to say hello to you. Ed, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Laufer, and you're on the line with Jolene Espinoza, the author of Through the Eye of the Storm.
Let me commend her. I thank her for her work. I'm a retired United pilot, and I didn't see the abrupt change in the thing. I think after post 9/11 that the industry went through a dramatic change. And, you know, I flew in the good years, and it's a lot tougher now.
Well, I sure appreciate it, and what a lot of listeners probably don't realize is that that all of our retirees, their pension was turned over to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and so they're getting, you know, literally a fraction of what they had planned for their retirement, and of course pilots have to retire at age 60 in this country, so it's not as though you can just keep working longer. It's mandatory retirement.
Yeah,
so Ed has taken a big hit himself.
That was the insult to injury, because if you you got your pension cut back based on you would retire at 65, so some guys past 65 when the PBGC took, you know, they said, okay, you've already retired, so you get the full thing, but we got a reduction in what we got. I didn't call for that, but I just wanted to say hello and say that I appreciate your work, and I hope you come on. And also, Peter B., I heard you, Peter Laufer, I heard you last weekend. I was up in San Francisco and caught the quake, so I appreciate your work on that station as well.
Well, thank you, Ed. We're so pleased that you're listening, and I know that it means a lot to Jolene to hear from a retired United pilot who knows what she's going through.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ed.
Okay. Keep up the good work, Jolene.
Thank you.
And there he goes. And that number that Ed called is 888-5-PETER-B. Yeah, as I was mentioning to you, Jolene, before we talked on the radio, it's the kid in all of us, I guess. I was on a flight to Tokyo, again, pre-September 11th. It was a United flight, and the pilot invited me up to see, and this was a 747, that view going across the Pacific of just seeing the sky and the clouds and the water from the cockpit. And it was magnificent.
It is, and you know, and I think that's probably one of the things for me in terms of flying has always been, it's enabled me to sort of escape whatever I had going on in my life on the ground and really overcome any sort of difficulty, is whether I was flying a U-2 in the Air Force above 70,000 or even a United aircraft. But Katrina was one of those events for me that I just couldn't escape it. The gravity of that, the gravitational pull from that was something that was just really, it was almost like when someone's having some sort of grief and it's sort of a little bit in their mind. I'd gone out and flown a trip, and usually that makes me feel better about anything. But in this case, it was still sort of gnawing at me, and I think that, the converse of that, though, is as I have worked this relief project for this last year, I found so much comfort in flying because it's gone back to being an escape for me, which is
well.
Quite
that's
nice.
That's the lesson in the book, I think, for a lot of us is that we can do well by doing good, and it helps everybody, and that's why I hope everybody reads Through the Eye of the Storm, your book, Jolene Espinosa from Chelsea Green. Thank you for spending this half hour with us. It's been a delight. I look forward to seeing you on the hustings together in person again soon.
Thank you so much, Peter. Have a great weekend.
And you too. There she goes, and here I am, and coming up next hour, we're going to be having some more fun here on the Peter...
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How do you know when there's something wrong with your child's development? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us for a rebroadcast this Sunday to discuss some of the early signs of language, movement, and learning difficulties in young children. Our guests will provide tips and resources for early intervention.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
The Bushies just don't get it. They think that the only way that you can get somebody to think the way that they think or the way that we think, the only way you can get someone to like America is to kill somebody. I mean, that's George Bush's strategy. If things aren't going well, kill somebody. Yeah, and if you can't kill them, then build a fence.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm sorry, the world isn't that way. And, in fact, you want to see where the Republicans want to take us? Just look at where we were in 1890. Look at where, you know, look at Victorian England.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At least half a dozen U.S. airline flights were disrupted by security concerns today, the most serious when a Continental flight from Argentina arrived in Houston with dynamite in the luggage. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports it belonged to a college student returning home to Connecticut.
The student told the FBI he was on a tour of mining operations in South America and was simply bringing back the explosives as souvenirs. One agent called it stupid, but officials say no terrorism was involved.
None of today's problems stem from a genuine terrorist threat, but former Transportation Department official Mary Schiavo says get used to it.
We're going to see this disruption on a weekly basis because we have finally run headlong into the situation where the authorities realize there is a constant, persistent, and deadly threat for which they have no system to effectively counteract it.
It's been a quiet hurricane season till now. This afternoon, Robbie Berg at the National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Ernesto formed about 300 miles south-southwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico.
We have issued tropical storm watches for the south coast of Haiti and also for the island of Jamaica. We do expect tropical storm conditions to start spreading over those islands, probably starting on Saturday and then lasting through Sunday when the storm makes its closest approach to Jamaica.
The big worry for the United States is the projected path of the storm, which takes it right into the Gulf of Mexico early next week. Thousands of extra U.S. troops have been moved into Baghdad this summer to prevent a full-scale civil war, and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld says the strategy seems to be working.
The last period of July and August have been, since the beginning of the effort in Baghdad, have been successful in the sense that we're seeing a reduction in the levels of violence.
But he said the real test is whether the Iraqi government can bring the country's rival factions together. The White House bristled when Senator John McCain suggested that the administration misled the public about the difficulties in Iraq. Today, the Arizona Republican issued a statement saying his support for the mission has not weakened, and he commends President Bush, quote, for his public statements offering Americans an honest assessment. Space Shuttle Atlantis, with a construction mission in orbit, is set to lift off on Sunday, weather permitting. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
NASA says technically Atlantis is looking good. The forecast, though, could be better.
We did bump our number up from a 30% chance of KSC weather prohibiting launch up to a 40% chance.
Shuttle weather officer Kathy Winters says that's because of late afternoon storms that could be too close for comfort. Forecast is better, 80% go for Monday or Tuesday if they have to wait. NASA has waited more than 3.5 years to resume building out the International Space Station. It has 4 years to finish the job and retire the shuttle. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
A 20-point loss today brought the Dow to a close of 11,284 for the week. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Office Depot for hot deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, packs of Crayola markers or filler paper are just 25 cents each. And get an unbelievable deal on a TI-83 Plus graphing calculator while supplies last. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credit to your child's school. So hurry in to Office Depot today. See store for details while supplies last. Quantities limited.
It's generating a lot of controversy, and that might be the point. On the next edition of Survivor, competing tribes will be divided by race. In New York, WCBS Radio's Rich Lamb reports some politicians are outraged.
Members of the New York City Council's Black, Latino, and Asian caucus are threatening a boycott. They're furious, fuming over the Survivor segregation twist.
We would not tolerate the racial segregation in any other part of our community or our society. We should not tolerate on this so-called reality show that is 100% choreographed.
Councilmember John Liu calls it stupid and ludicrous. Councilwoman Darlene Mealy says it's a shame.
They've taken us back 50, 100 years.
The network defends the show as a creative decision. Rich Lamb, CBS News, New York.
Talk about a bitter divorce. A man in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, has been sentenced to jail for hacking into his ex-wife's email and sending pornographic pictures of her to her family. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
To Office Depot for hot deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, packs of Crayola markers or filler paper are just 25 cents each. And get an unbelievable deal on a TI-83 Plus graphing calculator while supplies last. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credit to your child's school. So hurry in to Office Depot today. See store for details while supplies last. Quantities limited.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Your construction smells of corruption.
This is the Peter B. Collins Program. I'm Peter Lauffer, pleased to be with you on KRXA in Monterey, KPHX in Phoenix, KSAC in my state's capital, Sacramento, and KGOE up the coast in beautiful Eureka. And it's just been a pleasure hanging out with you these last couple of hours, and we have another hour of fun and games here. And I guess it might be my proclivity and prejudices as a writer to continue to foist authors on you, but I just love talking with authors. And if you were listening to the last hour, you heard our conversation with Ellen Ratner about her book Ready, Set, Talk, and with Cholene Espinosa about her book Through the Eye of the Storm. And I'm most pleased to welcome right now to the show a close personal friend of mine, and although that's a cliche, it's true in this case, and the author of a new book that's not out yet. Terry Phillips, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Program.
Thank you, Peter. How are you?
I am well, and it's good to talk with you on the radio. Terry Phillips and I have talked on the radio many times. You may recognize his voice, a longtime CBS News correspondent who was stationed in Moscow at some of the more turbulent and fascinating times over there. And Terry, as I was just saying, it's most unusual to talk with an author about a book that's written but not yet published because it's not available for the audience to buy yet, and plenty of authors don't want to talk about a book until it's published because they understandably want to sell it to the audience. But it occurred to me that that might make it more interesting to talk with you because you're at this intriguing juncture where you've written the book. It's a novel, and it's a novel based on something that happened, and something that not a lot of people know happened. And now you're at the point of going out there into the jungle and finding a publisher. So there must be both a sense of great relief and satisfaction and sheer terror, I would imagine. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm a little tired. I haven't had much sleep lately, but thanks for asking. Well, you mean how do I feel about this?
Yes. Come on. You know the how do you feel question. You're a news reporter.
Well, it's unusual because as someone who's been making a living in one form of communications or another for many years, it's rare that I have a product without an audience or without an outlet. You and I tend, you taught me this phrase long ago, no art for free, I think, is the expression that your dad used.
That's
right?
Exactly correct. No, yeah. Free art is the way he put
no
it.
No free art.
Right.
So since this is my art, why am I practicing it without compensation?
And just to bring the audience up to speed, you took a year off and you researched and wrote this book, Murder at the Altar. It's a fascinating book based on the murder back in the 30s of the Armenian Orthodox Church Archbishop when he was giving Mass in New York City and what that meant to the Armenian community, both in Armenia and the diaspora, which is so well represented in the audience of this radio program because it's a major force in California.
Precisely right. And even though this particular crime and this particular story is generally unknown even to many Armenians and Armenian Americans today, at the time it was front page news on all the big New York City newspapers. And as a metaphor, it's relevant to every conflict where people try to use violence to solve political or ethnic or religious conflict. So I think it's a universal story.
Oh, absolutely it is. I've read it, so I'm one of the few who you have let read it, and it is a terrific book. Murder at the Altar is the book. Now, you took the year off, and as you say, no pay and no audience, and now you're trying to turn that process around.
That's right. And, in fact, I did have a literary agent working with me at one point, but it turned out that he is not going to represent this book, so I'm actively trying to find representation, both for the novel and because I believe it has film potential for someone to represent it as a screenplay.
So what does somebody do? Here you are. You've got your credentials, CBS correspondent. That's not bad. You've been around the block. You're not a spring chicken, so you've got some connections in the media world. You've got the book, Murder at the Altar. It exists, and you want to peddle it. What happens next? You know, I think about all these people who are sitting around at a Starbucks with a power book, and they're banging away at it saying, I'm writing a book. You're way past that. You've written a book.
That's right. And, of course, today there are options available which didn't used to be when you and I were first starting in this business, not the least of which is self-publication. And, of course, there has been what we call vanity press for a long time, where you could pay someone a not insignificant amount of money to turn your manuscript into a book. But that process is so inexpensive today that, in fact, anybody with a relatively small amount of money can have a book published. And, of course, there's Internet publishing, which costs a cent.
Yeah. But, Terry, you don't want that. You want a six-figure contract with a major house in New York.
That's right. I want.
What's the story? Give us the overview. What happened, and why does it have this universality that you think it has?
In the 1930s, specifically in 1933, the Armenians living in the United States were divided over the question of whether the Armenian Republic, which was part of the Soviet Union at that time, ought to be independent or not. And they were divided politically over this question. And it became such a conflict that at one point, the Armenian Archbishop, who was associated with the Armenian Church in Armenia, in the Soviet Union, was attacked personally and physically. And then finally, he was killed. And a court of law found that he was killed because those who opposed him took arms against him. Now, that might seem like just another crime, except that it permanently divided these people along these lines. This wasn't a difference of dogma. This wasn't about whether your family was better than my family. It was simply a political question. But it turned into this horrific, really tragic and horrific crime. And it's the Middle East, you know, it's Northern Ireland, it's everywhere where people resort to violence to resolve their differences.
And are you saying that now, in the year 2006, this crime occurred when?
1933, 73 years ago.
1933, and here we've got millions, is correct, right? We have millions of Armenians and descendants of Armenians in just California, right?
And yet, all these decades later, you're right, I mean, it's not a substantial number of Armenians living in the United States, in Europe, in the Middle East, and this issue is still referred to, this conflict is still referred to, even though the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, this question of Armenian independence is moot.
Yeah, because there is independent Armenia.
That's right, that's right.
And so if I wander around the Armenian community in Fresno, for example, where it's well represented, there are people still taking sides in this issue?
You will find in Fresno, and you will find in Los Angeles, two of the largest Armenian communities in the United States, you will find two sets of churches. They're not different dogmatically. They have the same mass, the same music. They say exactly the same words. The only difference is their political affiliation. It would be as if there were, I don't know, a Baptist church that was populated by Republicans, and down the street, another Baptist church that was populated by Democrats.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Now, does that exist, or has that been reconciled within Armenia? Is this something that's just a residue, somewhat in the way that the Cuban community in Florida hangs on to its pre-Castro prejudices?
The Cubans are not a bad comparison, although they didn't go through exactly the same experiences. They had their own tragedies.
And their rum is better.
That's true, and their cigars are better. the consequences in Armenia can be traced back to this conflict. However, again, the issue has disappeared. So these two parties have evolved from arguing about that old saw to arguing about everything else. And the great thing about Armenians is I say we because I have Armenian roots myself. We can argue about absolutely everything.
And we'll do some more arguing ourselves, the two of us, as the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm Peter Laufer, pleased to have on the line my friend and colleague Terry Phillips, the author of the book Murder at the Altar.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent.
No.
But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel, on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let's take a look at your Friday afternoon drive home from in and around the Monterey Bay Area. First off, Salinas, Highway 183 at Cooper Road. Vehicle overturned, landed into a field. So a tow truck on the scene for this, and emergency crews have just left. They were blocking the right-hand lane. In Watsonville, San Juan Road at Tarpey Road, an accident has just been reported. CHP is headed out to the scene. At least one lane of traffic is affected. Prunedale, Castroville Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. A vehicle on fire on the right shoulder, and unfortunately, it started a brush fire as well. And a little frustration in Opal Cliffs. 38th Avenue at Portola Drive. Railroad crossing arms are down with no train in sight. They've been stuck that way for about 20 minutes. This look at traffic is brought to you by your San Jose Land Rover Retail Center. The Range Rover Sport by Land Rover on December 17th. It experienced rush hour 200 feet below Tokyo. See how at landrover.usa.com or visit your San Jose area Land Rover Retail Center today. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins program. And I am Peter Lawfer, pleased to be sitting in for my friend and colleague Peter B., and pleased to have on the line another friend and colleague, Terry Phillips. You know, Terry, I was talking to Peter B. yesterday about who I was going to have on the show. You might be interested to know the lineup so far today. The first hour was your friend and my son, Michael Lawfer, who was talking about how to teach, and particularly how to teach and how not to teach mathematics. And then the second hour was divided between two women, both of them authors at Chelsea Green, the publishing house that's published my last book, Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. And I said to Peter B., I hope you don't mind this little bit of nepotism along the way. And he said, where would the world be without nepotism? And so I'm sure he's pleased to know that you're on, too.
Well, we certainly wouldn't have a president today.
a good point. And the Democrats might not have that woman running for president that they're trying to get out there.
Also true.
In 2008. Now, you're talking about the legacy. The book is Murder at the Altar, and you're talking about the legacy of this crime in 1933, the murder of the Armenian archbishop in the church in New York City, and how it split the Armenian community, and that continues to today. Aside from this being your own book, but talking more generally about literature, how potent can a work be that tries to reconcile that in some way? Is the pen mightier than the sword? Do we have a flying chance? And in this case, do you have a flying chance at helping reconcile 73-year-old problems in the Armenian community with a book?
Well, I've given up on the notion that human beings in their fundamental nature will ever change. But what I hope is that it will provoke people to think a little bit about what they do and about the opinions they hold. I was more influenced, perhaps, by the book Inherit the Wind, which was a dramatization of the Scopes trial, but in fact a commentary on McCarthyism. I was probably more influenced by that than anything else I'd ever read at that point in my life. And it opened my eyes to the importance of not taking everything as it's presented to us, whether it's in school or in at work or anywhere else.
Yeah, so it's so incredibly true. And in fact, since you bring that up, in the movie version of that, there is one of my favorite all-time lines, journalist to journalist, and that is when the and you're going to help me tell this story, when the newspaper reporter, who is played by
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly, the dancer, right.
Yep.
An incredible dramatic performance by Gene Kelly. When he comes down to the town where the trial is taking place, and he's clearly after a story, and then it's suggested by one of the characters that he's simply pandering to his audience, and he then reminds the character in question, I think it must have been the girlfriend of the teacher, and he reminds her that in fact he is on the side of the teacher. I'm stalling here to make sure I get the line right, and it is come on.
Are
help
you looking
me.
For it by job is to comfort the afflicted and to
no, no, no. That's a nice one. It's we're both rancid butter. It's the butter line, Terry.
Yeah.
Come on. Help me with this.
I might be rancid butter, but I'm on your side of the bread.
That is correct. Thank you for saving me. And it's terrible because it is just one of my favorite lines. I quote it all the time. I might be rancid butter, but I'm on your side of the bread.
Yeah.
And he delivers it so well. What is that about Gene Kelly that he was such a fine dancer, but really that's his sole dramatic hit, right?
And now I'll tell you a funny story. The playwrights, Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee, didn't really like him. I mean, I don't know if they didn't like him personally, but they didn't like his performance. But Tony Randall had that role on Broadway, so I think that was their model.
I see. And now, were these some of the guys that were influential in your...
Lawrence and Lee? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here are a couple of guys who fought against bigotry their whole lives and wrote about it, and again, in this historical context. And that's my hope in my own modest way, that I can take this story that took place more than half a century ago, and provoke people to think about current events in that historical context.
Absolutely. Now, there's another challenge there, and I'm curious about how you're approaching this. And this is not something we've really directly talked about together in our many just personal get-togethers. The book, Murder at the Altar, deals with this specific crime and deals with what was going on in the Armenian community, and you suggest that there's a universality to this. But how do you seduce a larger audience to look at something that, at least on the surface, may seem so parochial and singular to Armenian interest?
Well, one device I used was to fictionalize this. I didn't write this as a history book. I wrote this as a novel. As my friend and former colleague Dan Rather used to like to say, this story has the additional advantage of being true. And it is a true story. I kept to the facts as much as I could, but I tried to write this in a sexier way so that it was a good story and not just a history lesson.
Sure. Well, obviously, you know, I wish you the best of luck getting it out there so I can have you back on the radio talking about the book that's published and where people can get it. As long as you bring up your friend and former colleague Dan Rather, there's a drama, and how, as an insider, having worked closely with him, how do you explain somebody who had such a meteoric and long-lasting career collapsing so thoroughly? It must be devastating for him.
Yeah, I've seen him both in the field and at the anchor desk, and he was certainly happier reporting the news from where it was taking place rather than sitting behind a desk and reading other people's words. He was called Dangerous Dan by his colleagues because he had an unpredictable aspect to his personality, and I'm sure that played a role in his demise. But let's face it, television, more than anything else, commercial television, is about making money. And even though he had a sizable audience, it was a smaller audience than they wanted. And this was not about whether Dan Rather was a good anchorman, an honest reporter, or anything else. It was about raking in those dollars.
Raking in those dollars, and it didn't help that that one story on whatever George Bush did in the National Guard blew up on him.
Yeah, and it's a pity that they didn't circle the wagons and insist on sticking with the truthfulness of the story rather than getting submarined by this one fact that turned out not to be scrupulously true.
Well, isn't that what's going on in the current environment, where we have leaks out of the White House that suggest extraordinary wrongdoing, and instead of the wrongdoing being investigated, we, meaning the country, is prosecuting the leakers?
I fear that what we are seeing in so many ways in the United States is coming to resemble what you and I both saw on the other side of what we then called the Iron Curtain.
And in fact, that is a nice segue to announcing, if you wish, at this point on the radio and in public, the theme of your next book.
That's right. It is that fundamentally the United States is coming to resemble the former Soviet Union, with the primary difference being that at least they knew, the Soviets knew, they were living in a dictatorship.
Yeah, isn't that just a sorry reality? And you sum it up so well. And those of us who spent a lot of time, as you say, on the other side of the then Iron Curtain, we learned how to live with that well. We were taught by those who grew up with it in the former Soviet bloc. And to see it occurring here, it gives us a bit of an edge because we know how to deal with some of these things. We know how to read between these lines in ways we didn't have to, not nearly so much any really before. But it's creepy, aside from being good subject matter for your book.
Every day our fellow citizens are gladly ceding more and more of their constitutional rights, all in the name of national security or, you know, for the greater good. It has to be done. Somebody has to do something. You know, and with phrases like that, we're willing to sacrifice what this country stood for.
And those treasonous comments coming from my friend and colleague, Terry Phillips. Thank you, Terry. Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Peter.
Murder at the Altar.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts
and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
It is the Peter B. Collins Program. I'm Peter Lawfer. Pleased to be here for Peter B. and to be with you on KRXA in Monterey, on KPHX in Phoenix, KSAC in Sacramento, and up at KGOE in Eureka. It's been a great few hours so far, and it continues now as I say hello to somebody I've not met yet, Brad Friedman. Hello, Brad. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. I know that you are a relative regular here with Peter B., and it's a pleasure to meet you on the radio.
And you, Peter. How are you? Yes, I'm a relative regular, but I've been on the road for the past few weeks, so I haven't gotten to talk to the Peter B. folks for quite a while, so I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's good to have you here, and I understand, and we're going to have to kind of figure this out together because I'm not well primed here, but you've become an expert. You have the Brad blog that a lot of people know about, but you've also become an expert in some of the questionable, to be putting it politely, elections that we've been running in this country and voting machines that we've been buying around the country.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, we've been talking quite a bit about it here on Peter's show. I've been following this at bradblog.com now for going on 2 years, and we've got just a mess with our electoral system, with these new voting machines that are going out around the country that are untested, that are unreliable, that are hackable. And, of course, it was the federal government that mandated states and counties around the country use these horrible new machines ostensibly after the 2000 election debacle. They thought this would be the solution, and it is anything but.
Yeah, now I remember I have just a passing awareness of this. I anchored a show for Link TV around the election in 2004, and we were looking at what those Diebold machines were doing in Ohio, and absent anything that may be wrong with the machines, and absent any hackability of the machines, just the fact that the owners and operators of that company were overtly indicating their preference for President Bush seemed enough that, in those good old days of that country I remember with white picket fences and apple pies and all of that, we would have said, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
Yeah, oh, you're so 1990s, Peter.
I'm so sorry. Help me here, Brad.
Well, yeah, that's what we've got. We've got these private companies now who are partisan companies. But, you know, to a certain extent, even looking beyond the fact that they're private and partisan companies, what we're seeing is they're putting out products that just don't work. Either that, or some might argue they do work as intended, which is, to flip elections to whoever it is that those who are running the elections want it to flip to.
And is that the side that you fall to? Do you think that this is not incompetence, but this is conspiracy?
You know, a good example is one of the cases I've been dealing with right now, which is the Busby Bilbray election, the special election that was held to replace.
Now let me just stop you. Let me just stop you right there, Brad. If we had all just left Duke Cunningham alone and not bothered him because he aspired to a lifestyle better than his immigrant forefathers, then we wouldn't have had to have that special election.
Well, that's true. I don't know what we were thinking, that our government should be honest and shouldn't take, what, $24 million in payoffs. But the good news is, for Republicans, is that they figured out how to replace him quite quickly with another Republican. They did so with voting machines that broke all of the security laws that were put in place just in the past few months. They were able to get in their new guy, Brian Bilbray, and before the votes were even counted down there in San Diego, just 7 days after the election, they went ahead and swore him into Congress. Now, I've been fighting what happened there because it was clearly an illegally administered election. They threw out all of the security requirements by sending the voting machines home with poll workers days and weeks prior to the election for these so-called sleepovers. And today in court, I can break some news here for you, and bradblog.com will have more shortly, even though I'm on the road. We've got some guest bloggers working on this, but there was a hearing in San Diego where that election is being contested, and interestingly enough, the Republicans down there are arguing that the case should be thrown out, that a California court has no jurisdiction to decide a California election contest because the U.S. House of Representatives ultimately has authority, decided that Bilbray was the winner, swore him in before it was even certified, and that they should throw the case out. It shouldn't even be argued in a California court because it's up to the House of Representatives who will be representing Californians. It's an incredible
argument. Now let me run through this litany again to make sure that I and the audience have it right. We've got a questionable security of questionable voting machines that results in an election that at least some of the voters wish to challenge. And prior to the challenge being adjudicated, the House of Representatives takes it upon itself under its Republican leadership to anoint the Republican winner and try to obviate any further litigation amongst Californians.
Just about it. It's an incredible power grab, and the attorney in the case, Paul Leto, has called it an election nullification. And his argument was posted this morning on Brad Blog, along with a letter from the U.S. House that was sent to the judge out here saying, oh, you must throw this case out because the Constitution gives Congress, not the people of California, not the courts of California, the ultimate authority on who gets to serve in the U.S. House. I know it sounds remarkable, but that is exactly what they are arguing.
Well, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but that seems counterintuitive. Have you had constitutional experts check on whether or not there could be a reading that makes that correct?
Well, there's sort of two points that are made in the Constitution on this. One essentially says that Congress is the ultimate authority on who gets to serve, and the other one says the states decide who will serve to represent them. They're, you know, by these guys now arguing that California no longer has the right to decide, that Congress has made their decision in swearing this guy in. They swore in Brian Bilbray 7 days after the election. Mind you, the election itself wasn't even certified down in San Diego County, this is California's 50th district, until 30 days after the election. So never mind the challenge. The challenge that's now in court couldn't even be filed until after the certification. What they were saying was that we don't even need to do the certification. We're satisfied with the results as reported, despite the fact that they were run on illegal, decertified machines. That's good enough for us. You don't even need to bother, apparently, you don't even need to bother certifying elections.
Are we living through a de facto coup in this country?
Well, if the argument that they are now making in court is allowed to stand, then that's exactly what it is. It is an extraordinary power grab that we're sitting here watching, and it means essentially, why bother having elections?
So Brad, then that means that they're marching in the streets in San Diego, and all of the newspapers are editorializing, and the talk show hosts are humming about how Washington better get out of the way and allow this to be appropriately adjudicated.
Oh, you've heard it all over the papers, all over the news, CNN. You've seen the thousands of people marching in the streets. But wait, that was Mexico and the Ukraine, not San Diego. My confusion.
Yeah. So what's going on here?
You know what, Peter? It's incredible. I wish I could tell you what's going on. I got a few hints. This past weekend, I was invited to speak to some of these folks in the DNC. In Chicago at their annual convention down there. All the state chairs were meeting.
The Democrats,
that's right. And they made the mistake of inviting me, I guess, to address them on some of these issues. And I got to tell you, what I learned there was simply extraordinary, because you had these DNC attorneys who feel there was that they'll come in if there is a close election. They'll be there watching on election day. Of course, they weren't watching on election day in San Diego, and they have not come in to help. This election contest has been funded solely by, citizens on the ground. It's a ragtag group of patriots down there in San Diego who are fighting for this. My organization, VelvetRevolution.us, has been accepting donations. We would still love those donations, because we had to go out and find an attorney, and Paul Leto is a great attorney. We had to find him on our own. The DNC, even though they did put out a statement, which was remarkable in and of itself, they put out a statement calling for a full hand count of all 150,000 ballots in that race because of the security violations. Nonetheless, they did not come forward with any funds or any attorneys. Meantime, you know, the Republicans, and in fact the folks...
Yeah, we know what they're doing. They're extraordinarily skillful and clever and well-funded and successful. Why are the Democrats so impotent?
You know, I was trying to figure that out this weekend. I really was. And, you know, I talked to a lot of folks, and one of the things I heard coming up again and again, which just blows my mind, is the suggestion that talking about election integrity will suppress the vote, will keep people from wanting to vote because they'll think their vote isn't counted accurately.
Who is Alice in Wonderland is this?
Well, that's the Democrats' Alice in Wonderland. And the Democrats, you know, I guess they're suggesting that it's better to lie to the people to make them think their vote counts, and then have their vote show, you know, have them show up and vote only to have their vote not counted at all or not counted correctly. That's what they prefer over being straight with the people. Meantime, we've had recently a Zogby poll came out at the beginning of this week showing that 93% of Americans across all demographics, both parties, everything else, they all believe that we should have transparency in our election system. I mean, we see this time and time again, and I try to...
How 90s, as you would say.
What's that?
How 1990s, as you would say.
Yes, I know. You're right.
I'm Peter Laufer. Hold that thought, Brad.
Yeah.
Brad Friedman is my guest this half hour, and I'm so pleased he is, because I'm learning a lot, and it's fascinating stuff. Brad's blog is where you can learn more about him and his act, and you can learn more about that right here, because I'm going to learn more with him as this conversation continues on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer. So pleased to be sitting in for Peter B. today.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let's take a look at your drive home on a Friday afternoon in and around the Monterey Bay area. Still some problems in Salinas. It was a bad crash. Highway 183 at Cooper Road. The crash involved a vehicle that overturned a few times and landed in a field. No injuries, but the tow truck having a problem getting that car out of the field. Elsewhere, both sides of Highway 152, slow and go as per usual on a Friday. Watsonville to Gilroy, and it, due to being a Friday, an extra slow patch now along the eastbound side of 152, headed out of Gilroy and heading along the Pacheco Pass towards Interstate 5. Other than that, frustration in Opal Cliffs. 38th at Portola Drive, the railroad crossing arms had an electrical failure. They are stuck in the down position. This look at traffic brought to you by Mattress Discounters. During Mattress Discounters' free box spring sale, purchase any select Sealy or Siemens mattress at their everyday low price, and you get a matching box spring absolutely free at Mattress Discounters. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
Well, this wild ride is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter Lawfer, pleased to be sitting in for Peter B., my friend and colleague, while he's having some fun with his family down in Los Angeles, and most pleased to be meeting and getting to know Brad Friedman as we talk this half hour. Brad Friedman of Brad Blog. Now, you insulted me right off the bat by calling me so 90s Brad, so help me out here, okay? Help me and the listeners out. What the heck is Brad Blog? Who are you? Why should we pay attention to you? Why do you have any credibility when you're talking about what the Speaker of the House of Representatives is doing wrong?
Well, frankly, you shouldn't believe me. You shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't think I have any credibility. And you should regard everyone in the media with that same thing in mind.
Hear, hear. I've always advised people, and I've been a reporter all my life, I've always advised people that if a reporter wants to talk to them, say no.
Well, listen. I'm a blogger, so I have to get the story right, unlike AP, who can get the story wrong time and time again. I'm a blogger, so if I get it wrong, they're going to say, oh, he's just a blogger, he gets his facts wrong all the time, even if I get it wrong one time. So what I do is when I report something, I'll put links, I'll put original documentation, so that you can check it out. You can independently verify this stuff on your own. I tell people all the time, don't believe me. The article that we have this morning discussing exactly what happened with the Bill Bray and the Republicans, this ridiculous argument they're making to try to throw the case out of court. You know, don't believe me. Read the briefs in the case. Read the letter from the U.S. House Administrative Committee. This is old Republican Ohio Republican Bob Nay's committee. That committee is the one that sent this letter to the San Diego court saying you must throw it out because, you know, California.
No, I like what you're saying because I have long been a proponent, especially in this age when we have no excuse for suggesting that there is some kind of monopoly on the news, no matter what's preached at us, the onus is on the news consumer to know what's going on. And it might take a little more effort, but even if you don't have any money, you can do that at the library.
Well, and look, when you're working on the Internet, as I am, as all of these folks are, including AP, New York Times, everybody else, there is no reason you can't include a letter. Why believe my claim when I say, here's what the Republicans are arguing?
Sure.
Why don't I just put the link to the letter, and it includes the original letter? And so that's what I do at BradBlog.
And where do you come from? You started this thing. Who are you? What are your personal credentials? What made you go into this? Have you studied this? All those standard questions.
Yeah, I have not. I have no credentials. I am a citizen. That's it. Period.
Nasty. You mean you're just one of these guys like the guys that we always cite, those founding fathers, those guys that built this place?
Well, apparently so. And apparently, you know, for a while, I'd call myself an investigative blogger because I thought calling myself an investigative journalist was an insult to, you know, all the folks who went to J school and who actually knew what they were doing, until I learned that they have no clue what they're doing. They get it wrong time and time again, and I've never had to retract a story.
How many people are clicking on Brad Blog a day?
What's that?
How many people are clicking on Brad Blog a day?
Boy, that's a good question. Right now, I'd say on an average day, we probably have anywhere from 50 to 70,000.
That's not bad circulation for a mom-and-pop operation, is it?
That's right. And all I got to wait for is, all I got to do is find a mom. Other than me, it's just pop.
Yeah.
But we do have, while I have been on the road, we've got some great guest bloggers.
And Brad, you're raking in the dough then?
What's that?
You're raking in the dough then?
Oh, you know, us bloggers make out like crazy. Are you kidding? It's a terrific. No, it's very difficult. We're always asking for donations. We do sell advertisements, but it's very hard to make our way here. But I think that it has to be done, because I've seen what the corporate mainstream media is doing. You've seen how they've, well, you haven't seen it because you don't see any reports on this stuff. They're simply not covering this.
So let me ask you this.
It's not even covering the story. Hasn't even reported on the Busby-Bilbray election challenge, the only federal election so far this year, and they haven't even didn't even deem it worthy to run a report in AP that a lawsuit had been filed.
No, it's unbelievable, and it's great that you are making all the noise that you are. Now, let me ask you another really serious question that we're not going to answer in the next few minutes, but we can probe around it a little bit. You are undoubtedly familiar with a fellow blogger who currently is not at home. He's getting fed courtesy of the federal government, Josh Wolf.
Actually, you know what? I don't know Josh Wolf. Oh, is he the fellow who I think I did see something about that? But as I said, I've been on the road for the last 3 weeks, so I haven't been as up to date as I usually am. What did that blogger do wrong to get thrown in jail?
Well, he's the fellow who shot footage of a demonstration against the G8 summit that was going on in Scotland. The demonstration was in San Francisco. A grand jury convened and wanted his testimony and his outtakes. He sold some of his footage to commercial television stations, so arguably, even by the strictest standards, he's a journalist. The California Shield Law is relatively strong, but this is a federal case at this point. And so when he did not talk, the judge threw him in jail.
Well, that's extraordinary because, yeah, in fact, the California Shield Law came into play recently. There was a case, Macintosh Computer was suing a blogger claiming that they weren't really a journalist and that they had to reveal their sources.
And so that begs the question that I wanted to kick around with you for a couple of minutes. What do you think defines a journalist? Are certainly the work that you're doing, that you've described, that you've been talking about on the air just now, is journalism by any definition? Are you a journalist?
When people ask me that now, I say absolutely. I am an investigative journalist. I didn't used to, but I am now, as I said, when I've seen what the journalists do.
So how do we define
I'm doing
that?
What they're doing plus some.
How do we define that? And What if you're a journalist with your blog, and if a New York Times reporter is a journalist with the New York Times, and say when your blog first started, maybe your mother and you and a few other people were reading it, right? The audience has grown. It didn't start big, right?
That's right.
And so if the corner barber has a dozen or two dozen customers a day, and he's passing the gossip back and forth and kind of checking it out in the same way we can check things out with the internet, is he a journalist?
Well, you make a great, it's a great question, and I think there is no sensible difference. Now, if you're reporting rumors and gossip, well, we've got the rumor and the gossip page in the newspaper, the New York Post, and those folks do not have to disclose their sources in such cases. So, yeah, I think that's a journalist.
So if we are ready to define everybody as a journalist, then nobody has to testify. Maybe we've got a bit of a mess here.
Well, do we?
I don't know. It's something I've been pondering and writing about and thinking about. I worked for many years for NBC, and I had all those fancy cards in my pocket from NBC and the White House and the Congress authorizing me, making me officially
right.
a journalist. And now I'm a freelancer. I know I'm still a journalist.
Well, I will tell you this. I report on so many whistleblowers. Now, you know, normally the whistleblowers that I report on are willing to come out by name, but, you know, I have a lot of sources and a lot of whistleblowers who must remain anonymous, and they wouldn't come to me. I couldn't report their stories, you know, unless they expected me to, you know, keep certain material confidential the way they would.
Would you go to jail, Brad? Would you go to jail?
Would I go to jail? To protect a source? I hate to say it because I don't want anybody to test me on it, but the answer would probably have to be yes, absolutely. Now, that's a different case, you know, than a Judith Miller who was actually protecting.
Oh, yeah. We don't have near the time that we would need to trash Judith Miller right now. But
no,
I want to tell you.
We're talking about the difference being that, you know, if I'm protecting a source who is telling me.
Yeah, yeah,
about
yeah.
It,
no, I understand. I understand the difference completely, but literally, because it's radio and not a blog, we're out of time. But Brad Friedman, it's been fascinating meeting you. I look forward to us getting a chance to meet in person to talk on the radio another time in the future, and I direct listeners to bradblog.com.
Thank you, Peter. Great talking to you, and have a great weekend.
Okay, you also. Peter B. Collins is whose show this is. I'm Peter Laufer. Pleased to have been here this afternoon with you. Tune in Monday for Peter.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A young man is facing charges that could result in a decade in prison after causing the biggest of seven U.S. airline security incidents today. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports on a Continental Airlines flight that caused quite a stir in Houston.
After it arrived on a flight from Buenos Aires, bomb-sniffing dogs picked up the scent of explosives on the bags of a 21-year-old student from Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. Inside his checked bag, customs agents found a partial stick of dynamite and ammonium nitrate, more than enough explosives to bring down a plane. And in his carry-on bag, they found a detonating fuse.
21-year-old Howard Fish, who's from Connecticut, told authorities he works in mining and often handles explosives. Other flights were delayed or diverted today because of disruptive passengers or suspicious activity. Officials found no evidence of terrorism, but passenger advocate Terry Tripler says it looks like things will be this way for a while.
I think the fear factor is pretty well handled. Americans have really matured. They understand the terrorist situation. They don't condone it, but they understand it, and they work around it, and they're more vigilant. It's the hassle factor that is going to hurt this industry if everyone doesn't get this straightened out.
Just in time for next week's Katrina anniversary, there could be a new hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico. Tropical storm Ernesto formed this afternoon about 300 miles south-southwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico.
It currently has winds sustained of 40 miles per hour. Now, we are expecting some gradual intensification as the system moves in a west-northwesterly direction across the Caribbean.
Robbie Berg at the National Hurricane Center says Ernesto could threaten the Dominican Republic and Haiti tomorrow, and its forecast track would take it into the Gulf early next week. There's been a blizzard in Boulder, a blizzard of legal motions filed on behalf of JonBenet Ramsey murder suspect John Carr. CBS News correspondent Lee Frank reports.
The public defender now representing the indigent teacher wants the judge to prohibit DNA testing without first notifying Carr's lawyer and to stop testing any DNA samples already taken. Blood found in JonBenet's underwear has not been linked to any previous potential suspects. Carr's lawyer also seeks to keep sealed handwriting samples, which could be compared to the ransom note found in the Ramsey home nearly 10 years ago on the day after Christmas.
Carr is to make his first court appearance in Boulder on Monday. A federal judge has blocked any strike action by Northwest Airlines flight attendants who threatened to start sporadic walkouts.